You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, a podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
Over the last few episodes, indeed over the last few months, we have talked a good deal about how to set your mind to achieve your goals and objectives. We've talked about it in terms of knowing what your intentions are, you know, that my intentions for me are honourable. We've talked about it in the context of developing our clarity of mind. We've talked about it in the context of what I call the two-piece jigsaw. The simplest way in the world to live the life that you would love to live. Number one, by turning up to your life in the here and now. In other words, being present, not being in your head, not thinking, not overthinking. We do that through developing our ability to be present in the moment, the training being meditation. The second part of the jigsaw is that we know what our intentions are, or that we handwrite what I call a perfect moment. In other words, a moment when you feel like you've arrived, that everything has fallen into your lap, that all is well, and that you don't have a care in the world. We do that by handwriting how it feels when that moment is upon us in the present tense. As a result of all of this, and as a result of the manner in which I have worked in largely exactly the same way over the last 30 years with clients the world over, albeit the fact that science has increasingly confirmed over those intervening 30 years just how our world works in the manner in which I've just told you how the world works. You turn up, you set your mind, you take the right action as a result of being in the zone, and all good things come to you. Now, we talked about the law of attraction last week or the week before, and what I've just said sounds a bit like the law of attraction. All good things come to you? No, all good things come to those who look after themselves first, are present enough to know what's really going on, and are present enough as a result of that to know what to do and what not to do in the right way at the right time. So, in effect, we end up always being the right person in the right place at the right time. But as I said, I've been doing this for 30 years. As a result of that, I could kind of put together a checklist or a shopping list of the things that people really, really desire to have and experience in their lives. Now, straight off, I'm not talking about a bigger car to make you feel good about yourself. What would that say about you, yourself, and what you think about yourself were that to be on your checklist or shopping list? Too many people think that they must have more things to bolster their own self-image, particularly amongst their peers and their tribe, because apart from anything else, for starters, most people are concerned about what other people think of them. And as we've said on many occasions here, don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy worrying about what other people are thinking of you. They're not. They're wasting their time and energy wondering and worrying about what you think of them. That is the way the normal world works. And as we've said in so many episodes of this podcast, as a result of us thinking that the world works that way, the world is broken for normal, crazy people. We can see that in individuals' lives where stress permeates the very experience of everyday life. We can see it on the global stage, and I'm not even going to go down that route. You know how mad this world is at this moment in time, and you know how much this world needs you to turn up to your life in your world at this moment in time. But as I said, I could come up with a checklist, a shopping list, if you will. And again, to reiterate, we're not talking about material things. Let me tell you, as a result of all of the work that I've done over the last 30 years, what is on that shopping list. Peace of mind. Being carefree. being happy, enjoying yourself, not worrying, not concerning yourself with what you need to say or do vis-a-vis other people. Work-life balance, no stress, being fit and healthy, indeed experiencing perfect health. Financial freedom, effortless success, where you work smart, not hard, as a result of which you have more time to do all the things that really turn you on and move your life forward, moment to moment, day to day, on a great adventure where, as a result of your own presence, you uplift those around you too, in particular, obviously, those whom you love. You might write down that checklist. You might even say to yourself, ooh, that sounds like the kind of life I would love to experience. You might say to yourself, I will aim for that kind of life, as somebody, an online program owner, emailed me a couple of hours ago. I'm looking forward to that life. No! That life is, I was going to say possible now. That life is inevitable if you are present and flowing in the moment. But, and here is the big but, you could wish for all of those things. I mean, imagine for starters, if you had financial freedom. So many people are hung up on the need for what people call financial security. I'm talking about financial freedom. It's a different thing, and we've covered that before in this podcast. Imagine if you had financial freedom and didn't have a care in the world from the perspective of your own finances. Imagine indeed if you were so carefree and tuned in that, something I alluded to a minute ago, you didn't give a damn about what other people think of you anymore, because you know yourself that you are the real deal. That somewhere deep down there is this perfection, this instinctive intuition that simply knows what you need to do moment to moment, what you need to say moment to moment, and how you need to act to bring about all of those things on that checklist. As I said, there is a big but. You are never, ever going to experience any of those things other than in a flash here and there. For example, people have often said to me, people in their 40s and 50s, what happened to the carefree 20-something me? Where did he go? Where did she go? And the fact is that we end up caring so much about the things that we should allow just flow for us, that we end up burdening ourselves to the point where life becomes a struggle. Now, of course, life is meant to be a struggle from the perspective of how our brains evolved through the course of evolution. We're meant to survive. We're meant to make it from one day to the next. We are not meant to have any of the things on that checklist. We are simply meant to keep the species going. To come back to what I was saying, you are never going to experience any of the things on that checklist other than in the odd flash here or there, the odd perfect moment or the odd natural high. For example, on the day you see your first child coming into the world, you're never going to experience any of the things on that list on a sustained and consistent basis until you ensure that you have signed up, so to speak, to the first piece of the two-piece jigsaw. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that you just need to meditate. In short, actually, that is what I'm saying. But what I want to do in this particular episode is to remind you, to remind me, to remind us all of the importance of meditation and how it sits in the development of our way of being, so that we end up being in flow, so that all good things on that checklist do come to us and come to us effortlessly. So I want to go back to basics. We all need to remind ourselves from time to time of the absolute primary importance of meditation. Why? Well, I got a call from a one-to-one client that I've worked with for years, just a couple of days ago. This girl said to me, she said, I'm suffering from anxiety. I said, how does that feel? She said, I'm bursting into tears for no good reason. And I'm feeling anxious for no good reason. Because, you know, from an outward perspective, everything's okay in my life. But I'm suffering from this anxiety. I said, where are you meditating? Because we've known each other for quite a long time. And she said, after a pause, she said, no, I'm not meditating at the moment. I said, do you recollect a conversation we had about 4 years ago when you phoned me at a ridiculously early hour in the morning to tell me that you had just had a panic attack on the London Underground, the tube? She said, yes, I do. I asked her, what did I suggest then that you do to ensure that that didn't happen again? She said, meditate. And I said, did it work? She said, oh yeah, I never had one of those panic attacks again. I said, so why are you ringing me now when you know how to deal with what is only a perception in your own mind, this anxiety from which you think you are suffering? People tend to become complacent. People, when they experience flow as a result of regular meditation, believe it or not, often stop their regular meditation. I suppose we're all only human, but that is a slippery slope, because we end up sliding back down into a world peopled by normal crazy people where our defences are down as a result of our not keeping our defences up. As I said to somebody else a couple of days ago, I think it was on one of our programme owners' Zooms, we need to arm ourselves against normal crazy people. We need, in effect, to put on our suit of armour every morning so that when we are assailed by normal crazy people, their nonsensical misbehaviour bounces off us as if it were encountering a force field, which it actually is. We've talked over the last few weeks about bioelectricity and how when our energy is flowing, our electromagnetic pulse is coherent with the universe. So if I am in the zone, I do actually have a force field around me so that I can let the nonsense that is inevitably all around me, because 96% of people on this planet are normal crazy people, I can let all that nonsense bounce off me like water off a duck's back. But I've said a couple of things there now which are actually a reminder of the importance of meditation. First of all, I've used the well-worn phrase, normal crazy people. When we are using our mind in the way in which nature, through evolution, intended, we are not present, we are buried in thought, we are buried in our own heads. We are overthinking, and all overthinking leads to negative thinking. The worry, the stress, and the anxiety that this girl mentioned to me. So the phrase normal crazy people is actually, I suppose, a shorthand descriptor of how 96% of people on this planet survive from one day to the next. I mentioned anxiety. And I mentioned that she only thought she was suffering from anxiety. But of course, as Shakespeare said, there is nothing good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. So if you think you're suffering from anxiety, you are. If you think you're suffering from stress, you are. But neither of those two things is real. They are the product of your thinking. Now, what happens when you think you are suffering from either anxiety or stress? Two words that basically describe the same thought process and the same physical effects of that thought process. As a result of thinking that rubbish, we release cortisol into our system. It increases our heart rate, it increases our blood pressure, it increases the production of fatty, bad LDL cholesterol in our cardiovascular system, and it subdues and suppresses the digestive and immune systems. In other words, we end up doing damage to our physical selves. A mind that is ill at ease will create a body that is diseased. That is why I mentioned perfect health earlier on that checklist, because the opposite is also true. A mind that is calm and present will allow our energy flow freely through our bodies, which are actually just comprised of energy, and undo the effects of the cortisol that I mentioned a minute ago. How many times have we talked here about the decades of research that confirm that meditation reduces the heart rate, reduces our blood pressure, undoes the build-up of fatty cholesterol in the cardiovascular system, in other words, cleans the tubes out, so to speak, boosts the immune system and boosts the digestive system. Indeed, as I alluded to a couple of weeks ago, and this is fascinating stuff, science has recently discovered, neuroscience to be precise, that if I were 75 years old and had never before meditated in my life, within 8 weeks of my starting to meditate in my mid-70s, I would have created completely new neural pathways in the brain from stem cells that were lying dormant there. I would have restructured my subcortical brain, and I would have rolled back the cognitive decline that comes as an inevitable byproduct of aging. In other words, I'd meditate myself neurally younger. I could sit here all day. I could sit here actually for weeks on end, quoting chapter and verse of science from clinical psychology and from neuroscience in relation to what meditation does for you. Indeed, I could actually quote medicine, the University of Massachusetts Medical School, what meditation will do for your physical well-being, rolling back the effects of cancer, even terminal cancer. But rather than do that, let me explain what happens when you're not meditating, when you're using your mind normally, because this is a call to action. 96% of people get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and don't see what is looking back at them, because already they are buried in thought. 96% of people will go through their day buried in a world of thought that was created for them when they were young and impressionable. This horror story of the normal so-called life begins 3 months before you're born, because the fetus in the womb is already, first of all, listening to what is going on around it and learning from it, but it is also sharing whatever cocktail of stuff is in the mother's bloodstream. If the mother is stressed, the child is going to be born stressed. Indeed, if the mother, and I'll come back to this in another week or two, because this really is a normal crazy people story, if the mother is drinking a branded water that is marketed to pregnant women, by the time the baby is born, the baby's bloodstream will already be contaminated with microplastics. That's another day's work. I want to go back. Sorry, it's an aside, actually. But, you know, we need to realise the madness that is actually going on in our world. From corporate madness to global madness, to the madness of getting up in the morning and thinking that today is just another day. It's not. Today is a day that you've never lived before. Today is a day you will never live again. You better turn up to it or you're missing your life. So 96% of people get up in the morning and their thinking mind switches on. Their thinking mind abuses them as a result of their thinking mind being operated by what cognitive psychology calls the autopilot. Like any autopilot, the normal crazy person's autopilot uses a series of programs. And like any autopilot, using the same series of programs day in, day out, try as you might to achieve your goals. Try as you might to calm yourself down. Try as you might to change your life. Your autopilot will always bring you back to the same place because that is what autopilots do. The programs that the autopilot uses are comprised of a string, a chain of 70,000 thoughts that whiz through the normal mind every moment of their waking day. So we're not talking about 70,000 thoughts every 24 hours. We're talking about 70,000 thoughts perhaps for 17, 18 hours every day. They are the same 70,000 thoughts that the normal mind has been using since its capacity for learning closed down at the age of 12 or 13, all the fundamental learning of life having been done as a result of what cognitive psychology calls snapshot learning during the normal crazy person's formative years. That is why I said a few minutes ago that it is highly unlikely that you will ever experience everything that I mentioned, or indeed anything that I mentioned, on the checklist if you're using your mind normally. We have to stop the rot. We have to turn evolution on its head. Evolution designed us so we pay attention to nothing in our daily lives. We think we are paying attention to what's going on because our thinking mind, using those 70,000 thoughts, those programs, enables us, or should I say, gives us the impression that we are doing good stuff during the course of the day. When in fact, if we're operating on autopilot and have young children, we're perpetuating the cycle or the circle of life where they will get destroyed before the age of 12 or 13, like every other normal crazy person on this planet. How can you change your life if your mind is designed to bring you back to the same place? How can you achieve your goals if your mind has been programmed to believe that you have to work hard to be a success and that success is the exception rather than the rule? How can you experience all good things in your life if your brain evolved to enable you simply survive? As I said, we have to turn evolution on its head. And I mean that literally. There's a part of your brain called the attentional spotlight. In other words, the bit of our brain that actually can focus on the here and now. The brain evolved to ensure that the attentional spotlight is turned off at the age of 12 or 13 so that the automatic pilot can enable us make it through the day. So that should the ability to make it through the day be compromised as a result of a life-threatening situation during the day, that life-threatening situation would have all of our attention. Interestingly enough, as a result of the attentional spotlight being switched on in a life-threatening situation, the attentional spotlight also ensures that the brain's hippocampus in the subcortical brain swings into action unimpeded by thought. The hippocampus will know when you're confronted by a life-threatening situation how to avoid the risk, how to live to survive another day. So let me recap before I go any further. There are parts of your brain that would enable you to do just what is right in the right set of circumstances to ensure that you make it through the day. The attentional spotlight and the hippocampus. As I said, the attentional spotlight is turned off at the age of 12 or 13. That is the way our brains evolved. Meditation immediately, even the first time you meditate, turns on the attentional spotlight again. So if you had never meditated before, but you meditated today, for the first time in your entire life, you would have complete executive control over your ability to focus, over your attentional spotlight. Because even though it was on when you were young and impressionable, you weren't fully in control of the attentional spotlight. If you were, you wouldn't have taken any of the psychological snapshots that led you to thinking that you are somehow less than you might really be. So if you were to meditate for the first time ever today, suddenly you have control of your attentional spotlight. But that is only the start of it. Because regular meditation, and I'm talking about regular meditation over the course of a few weeks, restructures the attentional spotlight, which means the attentional spotlight connects with the components of the subcortical brain in a completely new way, which means over the course of another few weeks, the components of the subcortical brain, in particular the hippocampus that I've mentioned earlier on, restructure themselves and communicate between themselves in a way that would only otherwise happen if you were confronted by a man or woman eating tiger. In effect, meditation enables you to turn on the attentional spotlight and enables the attentional spotlight play the role for which evolution designed it. It becomes the conductor of the orchestra that is comprised of the component parts of the subcortical brain. That conductor of the orchestra was designed to only ensure that your brain's key components acted in harmony when you found yourself in a life-threatening situation. But now, as a result of taking control of your attentional spotlight, as a result of your restructuring your attentional spotlight and your subcortical brain through meditation, those parts of the brain that evolution designed to spring into action when you were confronted by a life-threatening situation will spring into action in any and every situation. That is why we've been talking about embracing opportunity. That is why we've been talking about creating synchronicity. That is why we have been talking about how universal flow, the energy of the universe, responds to your intentions when you're all there, when you're actually tuned in, when all the parts of your brain are firing on all cylinders, when you have turned up to the moment, to the extent that not only do you know what's going on in the moment, free of thought, and indeed free of the inhibiting thought that gives us all the impression until we do something about it, that we have perceived inadequacies. Free of all that thought in the moment, the choir will sing, the attentional spotlight will conduct an orchestra of beautiful music that enables all good things fall into your lap. You've heard me use that phrase on many occasions. It's not mine. It is a phrase used by so many online program owners over the years to describe how it feels when they achieve effortless success and happiness. How it feels when they've arrived. How it feels when they don't have a care in the world. How it feels when they are experiencing peace of mind and financial freedom. How it feels in their bodies when their bodies are becoming fitter and healthier, when they are shedding weight as a result of being present, to the point where their intuitive selves are telling them what not to eat and obviously telling them what to eat. Meditation enables us to turn up to the moment. Meditation enables our energy flow at the same level in hertz as the flow of universal energy. Meditation enables us experience the reality of the moment and meditation enables our hippocampus behave in the way it was designed, evolutionarily speaking, in a life-threatening situation, in any and every situation. So now you're on your game all of the time, free of thought. It is important to go back to basics. It is important that we remind ourselves of the consequences of not looking after our own state of mind. It is important that we call ourselves to action every morning. It is important that we do the right thing, first thing, every morning. That before our day gets going, we have ensured that we have tuned our vital, flowing energy onto the same wavelength as universal energy, so that we can start our day in flow, fully armored against the madness all around us, so that we can continue our day in flow, and that having taken charge of our own personal evolution by restructuring our brain, we do just what we need to do completely effortlessly. As somebody said to me recently, we work smart instead of working hard. Indeed, as someone else said to me recently, what I have to do and how I do it doesn't feel like work at all. Because I mentioned work-life balance as part of that checklist earlier on. It's no such thing as work-life balance. The balance you're looking for is between your own two ears. Take responsibility for yourself, as we all must do. Take responsibility for your state of mind, as we all must do. You will be the better for it. Those around you will be the better for it. This world of ours will be the better for it.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-hoffman.com.